Happy New Year, RCC. It's great to be with you, and I'm excited about this year. Hey, can we welcome all those who are joining us online today? Welcome all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We love you guys, wherever you are. Hey, I want to encourage you with this, and guys online here in the room, and that is our daily Bible. This is an amazing step that we're taking, and we're going off of a chronological study, a 365-day daily Bible reading from F. Legard Smith. I know there's different chronological studies, but I want to make sure you keep in sync with us, because a lot of our sermons are going to come out of this study throughout the whole year. It's called It Is Written, which we're going to launch next week, and so we're looking forward to that. But go ahead and dig in. It's, you've just started the year. If you haven't started reading yet, it's not too late, and if you can't get a hold of one of those Bibles, I want you to know something. You can. We got a few left, and we got more coming. So you can buy one today for $20, and we will get it to you this week. Or you can buy it online, or you can actually go to riverchristian.church/dailybible. All right, riverchristian.church/dailybible. Everybody say daily Bible on the count of three. One, two, three. Daily Bible. All right, that's the last words, and you get there, you will see the schedule that we're going to be following throughout the year. So we're going to kind of update it every week or every month. So you guys online, you can join us. I've even had people from other states ask me, hey, where are you at? Where can I get that reading at? And that's where you can get it, riverchristian.church/dailybible. And you can use any Bible, by the way, to keep track with us. You know, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the series, and we're going to start next week. Today, we're going to talk about the DNA of our church. I want to take you back to the summer of 2016, and I'm in the air flying out of Orlando. I'm heading back to Arizona, where I was a pastor of a church there, and I'm flying out, and I'm heading north Orlando, and I'm on the right side of the plane. So if you're heading north, that puts you on the east side of the plane. And the sun is starting to set, and I can see as I'm heading north out of Orlando, I guess going to Atlanta, I can see the St. John's River. And I'm looking over it, and I'm thinking to myself, in that moment, I'm thinking, this is home. This is home. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Well, I've been in Florida before, but I don't know what God was just saying. It's time to go back. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know where that's going to lead to. You know, it's just one of those moments where I'm like, I've got to come back here. I've got to come home. Fast forward to a year and a half later, through some crazy stuff, all of a sudden, January 3rd, 2018, which is 3 years ago today, I rolled into Jacksonville in a U-Haul on the coldest day, I think, in Jacksonville ever. It was like 34, 35 degrees was a high. I show up to be the lead pastor at RCC with 80 people in a funeral home. And it's like, how in the world did God go and say, you know, there were some options, and why did God want us to come here? Why 30, 80 people in a funeral home out in the middle of nowhere? Why would God call and beckon us to that place when we have other options that are definitely bigger and more established and more security? Why 80 people in a funeral home? And I want to talk to you about, to me, what compelled me to RCC. I want to talk today about the DNA of RCC and what I saw, what God was doing in this church. And it was a no-brainer when you see the focus and the passion because of Jesus Christ that beckoned us to come back home, of all things, to come back to a place called River Christian Church. As I was flying over the St. John's River that day, thinking, that's home. What does that mean? I don't know. I found out what home meant later, about a year and a half later, when I showed up in the cold Jacksonville, January 3rd, 2018 day. I'll never forget also when I think about the church and what's going to happen as we continue to grow, and RCC has done something that's just supernatural, it's just phenomenal. I'm praying that RCC can continue to attract more and more people and be more diverse and therefore look more like heaven. I think about Martin Luther King Jr., who said that 11 a.m. on Sundays is the most segregated time in our country, in our culture. And I'm just telling you right now, by God's grace, with the church family, we're going to keep on changing. We're going to be a people that welcomes every race, that's going to pour into RCC. And my hope that God will use churches like RCC to draw every nation and every culture and every ethnicity as a church comes together every week as we worship our one God that draws us all together, no matter what our background is. Another way RCC is a microcosm of the kingdom of God. I noticed this really early on. It's intentional. I mean, this is an intentional group of people. This is not a passive church. I don't care if it's 10 people or 10,000 people. You need to know RCC is all about being intentional. This is not about our comfort zone. I noticed that really early on. It's not about our preferences. It's not about, you know, my opinion or our desires determining the direction of RCC. The truth is, this is not our church. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This is Jesus' church. And coming in, it was really obvious that God is leading this. He's the one who started it. He's the one who died for it. There was somebody who asked me recently, he said, okay, if Jesus came and he's the Son of God, and he died, and then he rose again, and then ascended into heaven, what has he been doing for the last 2,000 years? I said, well, you know what he's been doing for the last 2,000 years? He's been building his church. For the last 2,000 years, he keeps building his church. Matthew 16, before Jesus is crucified, he talks to one of his disciples. His name is Peter. And he says to Peter, you know, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior of the world. And he was going to commit the rest of his earthly life, which he didn't have very long left, to building the church, and then commit the rest of human history to building his church. And he tells Peter, nothing is going to stand against it. And nothing has for the last 2,000 years. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but these world-dominating powers have risen and fallen over the last 2,000 years. Millions and millions and millions of people have risen and fallen, and the church continues to do what? Grow and grow and grow and grow. Alexander the Great and the Greeks ruled the whole known world at one time. Guess what? Gone. Julius Caesar and the Roman Empire, gone. Persian Empire, gone. And the Nazis, gone. Communism, almost gone. Yet Jesus has been building his church, and all those governments and powers have risen and fallen. In fact, many of the governments have tried to destroy the church. It's happening right now in places like the Middle East and Asia. And yet the Lord Jesus continues to build his church. His church perseveres in those most difficult and unlikely environments, and the church is also prevailing in places like America, where churches like ours leverage the blessing to help those in need in our community, but also in people around the world. And I want you to know something. That's unique, even for churches in America. That's what I noticed about RCC was it's all about using the blessing we receive to bless those in our own community first, and then reaching out to the ends of the world. And family, there is nothing like the one church that the Lord Jesus is building. And so today I want to unpack the scripture that helps kind of understand the DNA, I believe, of RCC. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. You can also watch it on the screens or online. You can see it on your screen. And we're going to study this text because this is a blueprint of the church, the one church that God is building. And you can understand more of the heart of RCC. All right, so here it is, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. And every time the word one is said, you can see it actually highlighted on the screen. I want you to say it, all right? But I want you to say it like you mean it. All right, because it's all about one. Here we go. Help me out. There is what? One body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, what? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, what? One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And I just want you to understand one thing about RCC. From the very beginning, it's been unified. It's been people with a oneness. And because of that, God has blessed us. Because of the oneness from the very beginning until I came on 3 years ago. And then from then on. It's just been ridiculous because it's about one. And here's one thing I want you to notice. One thing we have in common is we have one hope. If you have your Bible in verse 4, in Ephesians 4, go ahead and circle that word hope. Circle hope. We are called to one hope. We were called. Hope is that life-changing confidence because I know the Lord Jesus. I'm going to be okay no matter what this world throws at me. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a job or you're looking for a spouse, you're going to be okay. And that one hope was so obvious when I looked at the DNA of RCC. I think about the ladies who were sitting at a table, and this gentleman comes up, and he's coming in the nursing home. He's now going to be a new resident, and he sees these three ladies, and they're kind of chipper, and they're talking and, you know, laughing. And he goes up and introduces himself, and they're talking a little bit. And then one of the ladies looks at the gentleman and says, "You look just like my third husband." He's like, "Well, how many times have you married?" She says, "Twice." That's called hopeful right there is what that's called. That's hopeful. Family, it doesn't matter if you live in a nation where you have the right to follow Jesus and that's protected like here in America, or you live somewhere else where the law is actually the ones persecuting the church. If you're in Christ, you're going to be okay. You know, I think about a guy, a friend of mine who's fighting cancer. I said, "How are you doing?" And his response to me was so full of hope. He said, "Either way, I'm okay. If I live, I continue to serve God. And if I die, I go home to be with the Lord. Either way, I'm going to be okay. Because if I die from this, I will get to be my family in the next life." And I thought, what an amazing attitude of hope. And family, it doesn't matter if you're healthy and happy or you're sick and dying. Paul says, if you're in Jesus Christ, you are part of one body and one spirit, and you have one unique hope. We at RCC, from the very beginning, have always had one unique hope because Christ is in us. Because this is a people who've always had a life-changing experience because of Jesus. Because there's power in being one in Christ. And they've experienced it. And we've experienced it. And now we want to multiply it. Contrast that with the hope of the world. I think about Sports Illustrated put out an article several years ago about these athletes who are millionaires who are committing suicide. I mean, these guys were young men. They had big houses. They had all the money, had all the toys, had all the freedom, had all the fame, all the access. Everything in the world says, you know what? This will make you really happy. They're living large, smiling at the camera, but then they go home and they plot their own lives. It's like, what's up with that? And part of it is they live without a sense of hope. And Jesus says that life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. I don't care how much fame and how much money you got piled up. If you don't have a hope about your future, you will live your life with a sense of misery. People have proven with their ruined marriages and their ruined reputations and their ruined families and their ruined lives, the worst thing for you to do is to make life all about you. Amen? That's the worst thing you do, is make life all about you. Family, narcissism does not birth confidence for the people who are called to love. Sadly, many men and many women who took their own lives are living out what they learned at home. There's a pastor, he's in Puerto Rico, and he's there waiting on his flight. He sees a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, two brothers, and they're sitting there playing around. All of a sudden, the 7-year-old must have done something that the 9-year-old didn't like. The 9-year-old gets his fist, balls him up, and just punches his brother right in the face, knocks him off his feet, jumps on top of his little brother, and starts banging his head against the concrete floor. The pastor's watching this. He jumps up, and he grabs the 9-year-old, pulls him off of his little brother. The 9-year-old's still trying to go after his little brother. He's trying to keep him back, help the little guy up. While all that mess is going on, one of the people from the flight companies, the airline companies, comes up and says, are you Mr. Bill? And he says, yes. And he says, your flight is now ready to leave. And he said, well, I'm in the middle of something right now. And they said, well, your flight's about to leave if you don't leave right now. And he says, well, assure me that somebody's going to take care of this and get these kids back to their parents. And that person assured him that they were going to do that. He gets back in his seat. His adrenaline is still pumping. He sits there and he says, like the Holy Spirit whispered to me in that moment, think of that boy's future. Is that 9-year-old most likely going to go on and do well in school and go on to college and get a degree and marry his college sweetheart and get a nice job and get a family and a nice house and follow Jesus and go to heaven? Is that the likely trajectory of that kid? Or is that kid more likely growing up in a toxic home where he's been hurt, abused in some way, because we all know that hurt people hurt people. How likely is that kid been hurt so badly that at 9 years old, he's so full of anger and hate and bitterness and rage, and he's 9 years old and he's using his fist? What do you think he's going to use when he's in college or college age or a young adult age? How likely is that kid going to go to prison, and then if he doesn't know Jesus, go to hell if he dies? I have those two options. He's thinking, which is most likely for that little nine-year-old? And the pastor said, it's like the Holy Spirit said, who is going to change the likely trajectory of that young boy's life? He said, is government going to get legislation that's going to change the hate in that kid's heart? Probably not. Is it going to be a university that's going to teach a college class that's going to change that boy's heart? Probably not. Is some business going to invent something that's going to change the trajectory of that kid's heart? I doubt it. Bottom line, he said, the only hope that kid has is some fired up disciple of Jesus from a church like RCC intersecting with that kid between now and when he goes to prison and saying to him, young man, I don't know what happened in your life. I don't know what happened to your family. I don't know what kind of hurt you've gone through, who did what to you, and how bad you've been treated, but what would cause you to treat another human being that way? But I just want you to tell you right now that you have a love in heaven with your name on it. And there's a life-changing love that can literally change the nature of your life. It can change. It can change your hurt-filled heart, and that's not all. Not only does God love you in a life-changing way, but right down the street, there's a church that will love you the way you are, but loves you enough not to leave you that way. And we will love you through this, and we will support you as God brings healing to your hurt-filled heart. Family, only one local church, only the local church functioning as one unified group of people can offer that kind of hope to a nine-year-old kid. And one reason we went to this location a number of years ago is because God has changed our life, because we are so in love with Jesus Christ that we want to reach out to more and more people. We want more and more people to have what we have experienced in Jesus. And we do it because our hearts are so full with joy because of Jesus Christ that we want more room for people to hear about Jesus Christ. That's why we went from a funeral home to a dance studio, and then that building got flooded, and we ended up in a school, and now we're here because we want more and more people to hear. We have people here who drive all over Northeast Florida to come and hear about Jesus Christ each and every Sunday. We have people right now online who are joining us in places like Michigan and California. We got people like North Carolina and even Minnesota and Arizona, even places like Arkansas. I know what you're thinking. They have electricity. Yes, they do. In Arkansas, we love you guys. I mean, we got people all around because they want to hear about the hope that RCC has because of Jesus Christ. I tell you, another thing is, that's why we invest so much in our kids. We are thrilled that Travis Esslinger is starting today as our student pastor in all of RCC's history, which isn't very long. We've never had somebody just solely focusing on our 6th through 12th grade kids and our teens, our young people, our students. Well, guess what? Travis is starting this week here at RCC. Can we give it up for Travis and his wife, Erin? Travis is in the room somewhere. There he is. And I just want to say something about Travis real quick. And that is, Travis, I've known a lot of student pastors in my life. And I got to watch Travis. He started out his youth ministry years and years ago. And I want to tell you, watching him develop and watching him grow and watching God's giftedness and God's story come out of him, I'm telling you, it's one of the best that you're ever going to see in this world in youth ministry. And we have he and his wife here at RCC. I mean, I'm telling you what, we're passionate about whatever we gotta do to reach those students, we're gonna do it. We're fired up about our kids' ministry because of Marine Knotts and JB and Kaylee Traywick. I'm telling you what, our kids' ministry is phenomenal because it's all about sharing the life-changing experience through Jesus Christ. We are unapologetic about reaching two kinds of people, lost people and little people. I mean, I tell you what, they both desperately need hope, and both are priorities to Jesus, and both are priorities to us here at RCC. And we're not going to stop until we reach every single person who's living right now without hope. And one aspect that you need to know that I really noticed about RCC from the get-go, not only do they have a passion to share hope with people about Jesus Christ, but also from the get-go, and this has been us the whole time, there's a strong community. It's a strong community. If you look back in Ephesians chapter 4, you'll notice there's a strong sense of community because there's no Lone Rangers in Church of Ephesus. And actually, you don't see that anywhere. Biblically, people in the Bible following Jesus, no Lone Rangers. Because I always say this, Lone Rangers are dead rangers. Lone Rangers are dead rangers. Say that with me. Lone Rangers are dead rangers. And you don't see that in the Bible at all. There's no one at RCC that you're going to see in our leadership and nobody that's devoted to RCC and devoted to Jesus Christ here that says, you know what, I love the Lord, but I don't go to church. I don't need the church. And they don't do that because that concept is foreign in the Bible. And so I'm going to ask you, don't use excuses this week or this year in 2021 to mess. I mean, RCC has pivoted itself now to be accessible no matter what you got going on in your life. You're worried about health? Guess what? We got online. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am so proud of you online people. Because you guys are the most devoted people we have, some of them. And I'm so thankful you plug in every single week. I tell you what, God is moving through online on campus. On top of that, many of us travel. And so we're not here to go to church on the weekends. Guess what? We got Thursday night. And you want to rock and roll and have a good time? Come here on Thursday night. We're having a party. And it's getting better. I tell you what, I'm so excited about what God's going to do on Thursday night services in 2021. And so if you're heading out of town on the weekend, hey, show up here on Thursday night or watch us online, wherever you may be. If you meet people and you meet someone, they say this, I love God, but I don't go to church. If you meet someone who says that, like I did one time, I was out surfing in the Atlantic, and the guy found out I was a pastor, and he's like, yeah, I believe in God, but you know, this is my church, is what he said. I'm like, the church is not a place. The church is the people. That's what church means. It's not a building. It's you. It's me. We're the church. And I'm telling you right now, if you hear someone say, I love God, but I don't go to church, they are doing something that nobody in the New Testament ever tried. Why? Because it's goofy. It's ridiculous. And it's unbiblical. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, meaning all of us together, each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's what that means. As us as leaders, what we do is in verse 12, we equip a single person, like just one person. No, we equip his people for works of service. So the body, we'll talk about the body in a second, of Christ might be built up. Verse 13, until I all? No, we all. We're in this together. We all reach what? Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God to become mature, attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That happens when we do it together because guess what? Then we, not I, will no longer be infants. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, look at this, we will grow together to become every respect the mature body of him who is the head that is in Christ. The one thing you need to know is that we don't grow by ourselves. We grow in community. That's how we grow. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to do it in community. There's no other way to grow. And then he goes on to verse 16, compares the one church to the human body. He says this, from him, the whole body, not just part of the body, but the whole body joined together. Think about this. If you took off your finger, can your finger do well? No. Your finger, what Paul is saying is every part of your body has to be joined with the rest of the parts of the body for it to grow, for it to continue on, for it to do well. He says the whole body, each one of us joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part. And I love that because you are a part of the body and we need you. Each part, you, each part does its work. Family, one reason we have so much hope is that when we come to Christ, we become part of the body. And one thing I love about RCC is they got it from the very beginning. They got this. We grow up together in Christ. It has to be together. It doesn't happen in every church, but it happens here. I don't know if you ever hung out with a group of Christians that seemed like the conversation was always shallow. Like, they didn't really talk about anything. You didn't really know anything about them. Just kind of blab in their mouth. I want you to know we have something called life groups here. And our life groups is opposite, antithesis of that, where we go deep and we iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another is what the Bible says. That's what we do in life groups. I want to encourage you to make that commitment, to take that step. You can go to riverchristian.church/life groups and you can see the information there. In fact, in front of you here in the room, there's a card that says, get connected. And you can fill out that card and actually say, you know what, I'm interested in these life groups or joining a life group. Please contact me. But we love for you to test drive some groups and dive in. And some of you are going, well, what does that mean? Like, what do they do? Do they just kind of gab about fashion and politics and sports? No. What happens in life group is we go deeper as one church. We are one. We are one because we have life groups and people bond together in their groups. The best friends, I'll be honest with you, I've ever had in any church, I've always come through life groups, even as a pastor. If I'm in life group with you, I get to do life with you. And here's what we do in our life groups. We study God's word together. We pray together. We do life together. And this is something I'm really passionate about right here, and that is we raise kids together. I'm so grateful for many of your families. I'm like the crazy fun uncle, all right? I mean, that's kind of how we are. We're so close together. I want to be part of your family. And I want you to be part of my family. We need each other. You need me. I need you. I just am thankful that my kids have tons of aunts and tons of uncles and tons of cousins and tons of grandparents here at RCC. Because we're family. And I'm so grateful that me and Rachel don't have to do one of the hardest things we have to do by ourselves. And that is parent. I can't tell you how many times every week I receive an email, I receive a text thanking me for someone from this church visiting a hospital, thanking me from someone from this church sending a caring card, a phone call, prayed with them, sat with them so they wouldn't be alone. Family happens because there's power when each part comes together as one church. And also the spearhead of that, the end of the spear of that connection, that community, is our life groups, and that's where we really become family. So make that commitment in 2021. This section of scripture also contains the truth in how the power of one changes the life of everyone, and that is we serve, and if you know a thing about RCC, we love to serve. We serve by unleashing compassion. The whole passage is about the difference it makes when a church brings people in, builds them up, and then sends them out. It brings them in, builds them up, and then sends them out. I want you to say this with me, all right? This next slide, all right? Here, look on the screen. It's going to pop up here in a second. And here it is. Let's say it together. Bring them in, build them up, and then send them out. Say it again. Build them in, bring them in, build them up, send them out. Let's do it again right, all right? Bring them in, build them up, send them out. We're all high, right? That's what it's about. It's all about bringing people in, building them up, and then sending them out. You know the most hope-filled people in this church. You know the most satisfied people in this church. You know the people who experience the most love in this church are those who've thrown their heart into serving by unleashing compassion. That's who they are. Heard someone say, they told me recently, I love the call to sacrifice financially that keeps this church growing because he said, I've been a part of churches where nobody sacrificed anything. And you need to know something about RCC, we sacrifice. He said, I've been a part of churches where they don't sacrifice anything. He went on and said, what you're doing, don't stop. My family has been changed because we came here. And I'm telling you, for him, this is not a place where he just checks off the list and says, yep, I went to church. He knows that RCC is a movement that inspires all to unleash compassion. I told the brother, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. My prayer is by God's grace, we will double the number of people that we have impact with every single week within the next 3 years. You're like, well, that's a lot. Well, think about it. 3 years ago today, we were 80 people. Now just think about that. Look what God did in the last 3 years. Can you imagine what he's going to do the next 3 years? Can you imagine? What if we doubled every 3 years and we did it again and we did it again and we did it again until Jesus returns? What happens here at RCC is important. And you've got to understand that Christians like Paul, who wrote the book of Ephesus to the church in Ephesus called Ephesians, never believed this. They never believed that all cultures were equal. Never believed that. Paul believed that the Christian culture, the Christian life, is better than any other way. It fills you with hope. It surrounds you with community, and it gives you a cause. It gives you a cause to unleash compassion, a cause that you can live for, a cause that you can die for. It makes a difference in the world, and the ripple effect of what you do here goes on and on and on for eternity, long after you're gone. Christianity was better than the Roman culture that taught us that swords, if you have all the swords and you've got the power and you can be the boss. Christianity is also better than the Greek culture that had the socially motivated caste system that says, you know, if you're born in the upper caste, you've got it made. If you're born in the lower caste, then, you know, you're going to suffer the rest of your life. That's why Christianity culture was superior than all those other cultures. And we are part of a cause that introduces a higher standard of ethics, a higher standard of morality. Because here's the thing, when the church is unified, we witness the great power of one. Have you ever thought about what would happen if all the churches in Florida just disappeared? What would happen if all the churches in Florida just disappeared tomorrow? Who would teach husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church? Nobody. Who would call people to forgive those who harm them? Nobody cuts loose of bitterness and grudges and hate naturally. Who would call people to do the supernatural to love those who have hurt you? Nobody. Who's going to call people to pray for those who you may consider an enemy rather than living a life of nursing hate? Nobody. You take the church out of the world, who's going to dig wells in Africa? Who's going to storm ravaged places that have been proven over and over again to be more effective than any government in restoring those communities? Who's going to AIDS ravaged areas with medicine and counsel and actually provide a solution? Who will take the lead on ending sex trafficking around the world? Who would do it? Historically, who's done it? Nobody but the church. And if the gospel of Jesus Christ were to go away, if the church were to disappear, who would say, let's care for the poor? Who would say, let's use our resources to care for those who cannot care for themselves? If the church were to disappear, who would tell the teenagers in our country, you know what? You're not just a body. You're not just a few pounds of meat. You have an eternal soul. And when you give into sex before marriage, it affects your soul. And that's why you save sex for marriage, because it's the only place where you'll be blessed by sex. Who's going to teach our young people that sexual purity today is an investment in relational intimacy tomorrow? Nobody thinks that way in this culture. Purity is a discipline. It goes against our carnal nature, and it runs counter to the narcissism of our culture and the appetites of our lust. Who would give that teaching if the church were to go away? Nobody. Nobody. We are not just stewards of hope. We're not just stewards of community because we are one church. We are stewards of the best way of life. We have a life-changing cause. Who's going to tell the women in our culture that abortion is not the answer and not the solution? The legality of it is almost irrelevant. Abortion never solves anything. Who says that other than the church? Who's going to teach that every human being that you and I lock eyes with is a treasured child of the Most High God? They have intrinsic worth because they're created by God. Just because you have worth because you're made in the image of the Heavenly Father. Who says that other than the church? Nobody. That's why the church will not back down. That's why we will never give up. And that's why in the last couple of years, even during COVID, churches like RCC have blessed more people than we ever have and been more effective for the kingdom of God. And so in 2021, because of who we are and who we always been and who we're going to be, because we're one, more than ever, RCC is going to commit to this: winning people to Jesus, training believers to become disciples, and unleashing disciples all around the world. Will you say those six words with me really loud, all right? Like lions, even you guys online, join me. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Win people, train believers, unleash disciples. Do it again. Win people, train believers, unleash disciples. And as we invite people to Jesus Christ, like we always have here at RCC, we're inviting them to a hope that will sustain them. That's what I love about you. It'll sustain them through anything they go through. In Christ, we're inviting every soul to a community that will bless you the rest of your life. In Christ, we're inviting everyone to a cause that'll give your life purpose. It'll give your life meaning for the rest of your days. Family, because the unity of this church that we call RCC, lives have been changed. And lives are gonna be changed in the future. And we know, since our lives have been changed, because the love of Jesus Christ, God, can use his church to change you. I never would have dreamed that when I was flying over that day out of Orlando and looking over to the east and looking at St. John's and Clay County and even Jacksonville, I never dreamed of how my life would be changed because of RCC. And I'm telling you, if you'll join us and you'll be a part of this in 2021, he can do the same thing to you that he did to me. I don't know what you need right now to change, what you want to launch into as we head in 2021. Maybe right now you want to be more impassioned for that hope that only happens in Jesus. There's a response card in front of you. You can fill that out, take it to the cross, and say, you know what, God, I need to have more hope, or I need to share hope with this person this year. God, I'm praying for this person to have the hope of Jesus in their life. You can fill out that response card in front of you and put their name on it, and we'll be honored to pray. Our prayer team, our elders, our staff will be honored to pray for that person so they get the hope. Maybe today you're going, you know what? I need to step into community. I need to stop being a lone ranger. And I need to step into where each part does, or each part grows together. And we do it through life groups. You can fill out that Get Connected card and take it to the cross on your right and left. We'll get in contact with you. Or maybe today, you know what? I want to start being a part of Unleashing Compassion here at RCC. Well, there is a Get Involved card right in front of you. Fill that out, take it to the cross, and we'll get a hold of you. Whatever it is, why don't you take that step this year? Maybe it's saying, you know what? I need to get my life right, my heart right with God as I head into 2021. Let us know right now by filling out that card. Will you stand with us and let's go to God in prayer? Father God, we come before you. And Lord, this church is your church. It's not my church. It's not anybody else's church. It's Jesus' church. And so Lord, we ask you to always continue to be the head. And as we read about in Ephesians 5, out of the head, who is Jesus Christ, the body grows. And so Lord, we're going to continue to lift up Jesus. And people are going to continue to be drawn to Jesus Christ. And more people are going to come because he is the head of this church. And Lord, we are just honored to play a part. To be a part of this movement called River Christian Church. And be part of the grander and the bigger Big C Church that's all around the world. Lord, is growing. As empires rise and fall, this is the one place that's going to continue to take the world captive for your name, by your grace, and by your love, and by your truth through Jesus Christ. Lord, right now, I just ask a blessing over all of us who need to step into a new hope, that we step that new hope in Jesus this year. Or maybe we have a passion to share hope or get involved in a community, a stronger community of faith in 2021. Or maybe start being used. Lord, you've gifted us all with different abilities, each part to do the work. Maybe today's the day we step forward and we get involved here at RCC to unleash compassion. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, help us to take that step right now. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. And the old church said, amen. So won't you take that step right now as we sing an amazing song, lifting up the one and only right now, Jesus Christ. Won't you move towards the cross with your responses right now, and let's give God all the glory.